If you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd invite you to open to the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. If you didn't bring your Bible, we do have the lesson printed on a lavender insert in your bulletin. We're going to continue the reading that Joe began for us, the Easter reading. And so I'd invite you, out of reverence for God's Word, to please stand. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, hide me behind the pulpit of your word, that I may decrease and you may increase. And come by your Spirit and speak, for we, your servants, are listening. Amen. You may be seated. My whole world has changed, and I've got a lot of learning to do. Those were the words of Ray Hinton, spoken in the days after he was released from death row. Ray Hinton was sentenced to death for a crime he never committed. And for 30 years, he spent 23 and a half hours a day in solitary confinement, contained in a jail cell that was 5 by 7 feet in size. The bed in his cell was so short that he had to lie in the fetal position every night just to fit on his bed for 30 years. In the 30 years that he was on death row, 58 inmates were executed. And he was there, and he heard the sounds and the commotions that come with an execution. And so every night for 30 years, Ray Hinton laid awake in fear, wondering if the next knock on his cell would be the executioner coming for his life. And then the day came when he got the message he never thought he would receive. After decades of appeals, his lawyers won him a new trial. And as soon as his case was reopened, the state of Alabama dropped the charges against him, citing a lack of evidence. And Ray Hinton was set free. When he first got the news, he was shocked. He never dreamed in a million years that anyone would be released from death row. And then no sooner was he shocked than that freedom became a reality, in a moment of joy. Mr. Hinton was released from jail on a rainy day in Alabama. And as he walked out of that prison, his lawyer stood there to offer him an umbrella. But Mr. Hinton refused. It had been 30 years since he felt raindrops on his skin. And he stood outside the prison, arms stretched out, and felt the rain. a moment of praise, a moment of liberation, a moment of freedom for one who spent 30 long years on death row. No sooner was Mr. Hinton released than he realized that his entire world had changed. There were cell phones, personal computers, GPS systems, and the cars just seemed to move faster than he remembered. As he began to reacclimate himself to the world, he found it difficult to relate to people after spending 23 and a half hours a day alone for so long. He couldn't understand this idea that he could take a bath anytime he wanted to, or that he didn't need to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to eat breakfast. It was a strange new world. And for Mr. Hinton, it was scary. It was challenging and somewhat confusing. And so he said those words, "My whole world has changed, and I've got a lot of learning to do." I believe that Mr. Hinton had an Easter moment when he was released from death row. You see, Easter is this good news that shocks us at first. It sounds almost too good to be true. And then we realize the truth of the Easter message and we are overjoyed. And then in the midst of our joy, we become somewhat confused because we realize that if Jesus is raised, then we've got some learning to do. Hop into that gospel lesson, John 20. We find Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb. She finds that the stone has been rolled away. And immediately, she is afraid. She's afraid that somebody has taken Jesus' body, that some raiders have come and stolen Jesus' body from the tomb. And so she runs and she tells Peter and John, and they too come running to the tomb, and they see the empty tomb. But the text says that they don't know what to make of it either. They don't yet believe what the Scripture said, that Jesus must be raised. They're not sure what's happening, but they go home as if nothing ever happened. You see, the good news of resurrection is at first shocking. Because in many ways, since the beginning of history, every human being that's ever lived has been on death row. And that may not mean being locked in solitary confinement, but it does mean knowing that someday, we don't know how, we don't know when, we're all going to bite the dust. We're all going to end up dead. And in that long history of death, when you die, it is permanent. It is final. And so it's shocking news, and in some ways unbelievable to think that Jesus should be raised, that he should live again. And so there's this initial shock. But then Mary continues at the tomb, and she encounters the risen Jesus. Now, she doesn't recognize him at first. But when Jesus calls her by name, her eyes are opened. She sees that Jesus is alive, and in a moment of sheer joy, she shouts, "Rabboni," which in Aramaic means teacher. In the moment of joy, what Mary shouts is teacher. She doesn't say, "My Lord." She doesn't say, "Jesus." She says, "Teacher." Because in that moment of joy, Mary has realized something. If Jesus is raised from the dead, then I'm going to need somebody to teach me what this means. Because everything changes if Jesus is alive. You see, since the beginning of history, the whole world has been shaped around this notion that death is permanent. And so much of human culture and history is designed to prevent death, or to avoid it, or to extend life as long as possible. And the result of that is we do things like fight wars, thinking if I can kill somebody else off first, maybe I'll preserve my life a little longer. We do things like pump billions and billions of dollars into medical treatments to extend life, because we think what we've got to do is avoid death, because that is absolutely the worst thing that can happen to us. But if Jesus is raised from the dead, And if, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, if Jesus has conquered the permanency of death, if he has opened the gates of everlasting life, then we've got some learning to do. Because it's a whole new world out there. If Jesus is raised, then there's no need to hate anyone. No need to kill. No need to put up borders and walls. No need to protect ourselves against our enemies. Instead, if Jesus is raised, there's a whole new way to be human. If your enemy speaks out against you, pray for him. They strike you on the face, turn the other cheek. What harm can come to you if death holds no victory? What harm can come to you if death has lost its power and permanency? If Christ be raised, then everything is changed. And we've got a lot of learning to do. In April of 1865, in Appomattox, Virginia, General Robert E. Lee and Ulysses M. Grant met to discuss the terms of peace after the American Civil War. The war was long, bloody, and horrendous. Over 600,000 lost their lives. When they gathered at that courthouse, they ended the war. They negotiated a peace treaty. And in that moment, it was done. The war was finished. And yet, in the weeks and months after that declaration, did you know that thousands of soldiers died as the battles and skirmishes continued? Even though the war had ended, the message hadn't gotten forth yet that the war was over. And so people continued to fight as if the war was still on, when in reality it was finished. And so people died senselessly. 150 years later, we're still trying to come to peace with what happened in that war. Supposedly, when that war was finished, it ended slavery. Ended racism in this country. 150 years later, we still haven't learned what it means to live in a new world where slavery is no more and where all people are created equal. 2,000 years ago, Jesus won the war. When he rose up from the grave on Easter Sunday, the world changed. It was declared, it is finished. And there's no need to fight anymore. And there's no need to fear death anymore. And 2,000 years later, we still haven't learned. The world has changed. It's as though we're continuing to operate the world out of a Windows 95 operating system. We got a whole lot of upgrading that's happened in Jesus. And our modes of being human are obsolete. The good news of Easter is that we don't have to fight anymore. The good news of Easter is we don't have to be afraid anymore. The good news of Easter is we don't have to build up the walls of separation between race and class and nation. The good news of Easter is that all of us can experience life abundantly. There's plenty of life to go around for everybody. There's no need to turn on our TVs and hear kids saying, "For the price of coffee, you could feed me." That there's no need for us to read stories of terror attacks in the center of cities, from Brussels to Saudi Arabia to Turkey. That there's no need for us to fear the power of death anymore. Those modes of being human are outdated. There is a changed world in Jesus Christ. And that changed world requires us to learn. It requires us to make Jesus our Rabboni, our teacher, to sit at his feet and to learn. Now, I want to tell you something. I believe that we do a very good job at feeling that sense of shock at the good news that Christ is risen. We've all thought through the mystery that the one who is dead is now alive. We felt that sense of shock that this is not what we expected. We do a good job at experiencing the joy of receiving that good news. We gather on Easter, we put out our best flowers, we put on our bonnets and our nice hats, and we celebrate with joy. Like Ray Hinton, we open our hands and we just take in the moment. We allow the rain of God's love to pour upon us. Here's what we're bad at. Learning what it means to live in a world that's been changed by Easter. We don't do that so well. Because the reality is that when Easter Sunday ends, and when we pull down our hands from our day of praise, we just go back to living as if the world hasn't changed. And tomorrow, we'll turn the page, and we'll go back to our jobs, and back to our schools, and back to our homes. But if we hear the real power of the Easter message today, you will hear this. When Jesus rose from the grave, our whole world got turned upside down. Everything changed. That means we've got a lot of learning to do. Do not leave here today without hearing me say this. If Jesus is not your Rabboni, if Jesus is not the teacher of your life, if you are not sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning what it means to be human in a world of resurrection, then you are operating on an outdated operating system. You are living a life that is antiquated and out of date. If you want to be modern, if you want to be contemporary, if you want to be progressive, if you want to be on the leading edges of the world, sit at the feet of Jesus. Learn what it means to live in a world where death has no victory. Our whole world has changed. We've got a lot of learning to do. If you want to learn from Jesus the ways of resurrected life, if you want to update your life's operating system in response to Easter, then I invite you to be right back here at 10 o'clock next week. I'm going to be starting a series called Follow Me, 7 Steps to Being a Disciple of Jesus Christ. Over the next 7 weeks, we're going to learn from Jesus what it means to be Easter people, what it means to live our lives in response to the good news we proclaimed today. I hope you'll join us. And now I want to leave you with the words of a poet, Steve Riley, who paints for us a picture of how the world has changed because of Jesus. There's coming a day that'll be much better than now. No more hurt, no more work by the sweat of your brow. No more drunk drivers driving all out of control. No more flats or being stuck on the side of the road. Believe me. No more turning on the TV, hearing kids say, for the price of coffee, you could feed me. In fact, no more anthrax in the mail. No pain, no twisters, no blizzards, no hail. It'll be the end of pain and the end of planes being hijacked and flown into window panes. It'll be nice. Just imagine a world that'll be righteous. No more Middle East crisis. No more drugs, plus no more thugs and pimps. No more beatdowns. No more getting mugged for tens. No need for ramps, no need for wheelchairs, no need for wigs, because you'll feel your real hair. May it be so. Amen.